Good morning, everyone. As Pastor Jeremy mentioned this morning, my name is Justin. I am not one of the pastors here at Higher Hope. Pastor Mike is on sabbatical, and a couple months ago he came to us, a couple of us, and asked us to fill in. So I'll be filling in this week and next week. A little bit about myself. Me and my wife started at Higher Hope about 11 years ago. It's just shy of 11 years. Over the last 11 years, I've had the opportunity to serve Higher Hope in a number of roles, including on the leadership team, and I'm currently serving as an elder. So for those of you that have been attending Higher Hope for a while, there's going to be some changes, or you'll notice some differences over the next couple of weeks. First and foremost, you're probably not going to hear the word marinate as often in service as you would have in the past. Second of all, service is more likely than not to end on time. Mike has a tendency to push that limit a little bit. Third, you will not hear any stories about Pastor Mike and Gina's dating time. And last but not least, Pastor Jeremy, myself, and Rick will be giving a couple of messages as well. Have all committed to finishing every sentence that we start. So when Pastor Mike came to us, this was probably a couple months ago, and asked us to fill in for him, I thought I was excited. It was a great opportunity. I've been kind of hounding Pastor Mike for the last couple of years to do a particular series or a couple of messages on a topic that I was excited to speak about, and it just never kind of fit in with what we were trying to do or the message series. So this was my opportunity, and a couple weeks ago, as I'm trying to put the framework around the message and to really flesh out the ideas, it wasn't coming to me. And I never really have trouble. I'm usually pretty good at building the framework around an idea, but this, as I was doing the research, it kept coming back to faith. So I scrapped the series I was excited about, and I have a message on that God has laid on my heart about faith today. See, faith is complete confidence or trust in someone or something. Now, we all have faith in small things. Like, if you go to a light switch, flick the switch, you know that the lights are going to go on or go off, or an appliance is going to kick on. If you walk to a sink and turn the knobs on the faucet, water's going to come out. We all have faith in that. We have faith in some larger things as well. I have faith that on the assigned day, my paycheck is going to go into the bank. When I was dating my wife, I had faith that she was the one. And I also had faith that when I asked her to marry me, she would say yes. But there's also times in our lives where we don't have faith. There have been exams that I haven't studied for like I should have, and I didn't have faith that I was going to do well. I hoped I was going to do well, but I didn't have faith. There are job interviews where I was hopeful about the job interview, but I didn't have faith that I was going to do well or I was going to get the job. You see, hope and faith are two vastly different things. Hope is wishful. It's uncertain. It's weak when compared to faith. Faith is strong. It's confident. And it's powerful. Hope will walk through fire. Faith will leap over it. And I think far too often in our culture, we get the two of them mixed up. We're going to spend today in Exodus chapter 14. And as you turn there in your Bibles, I'm going to try to give you a little bit of context. So, all right, by chapter 14, Moses has already seen the burning bush. God has called out to Moses and said, I am choosing you to lead my people out of Israel. And there's kind of some back and forth there. And Moses really isn't sure that he's the one. And God says, don't worry, I am. And Moses, you see Moses' faith really develop and grow. Moses goes back to Egypt to free the Israelites. And God performs some of the most powerful miracles, some of the most powerful displays of his power ever seen. God turned the Nile River to blood. He covered all of Egypt with frogs. God made massive swarms of gnats. And when that didn't work, he created massive swarms of flies. Showing his power. It's kind of like when you go to a light switch, the first time, okay, it works, second time it works. You keep doing it, you build more faith that every time you go to that light switch, it's going to work. But yet, Pharaoh didn't quite get the message. So he sent a plague of boils. And that didn't work. He killed all of the Egyptian livestock. He sent a hailstorm that has never even existed as powerful as it did that day. He sent swarms of locusts. And yet that still didn't work. So he plunged Egypt into darkness. And that still didn't work. So he killed the firstborn male son of all the Egyptians. And anyone who didn't sacrifice a lamb and paint their door jams with the blood of that sacrificed lamb. You see, that message that God was sending wasn't only for the Egyptians. It was a message to the Israelites. He was saying, look how powerful I am. Put your faith in me. I can meet every need that you have. Put your faith in me. And when we pick up the story in verse 1, then the Lord said to Moses, tell the Israelites to turn back and encamp near Pi-Hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea. They are to encamp by the sea directly opposite Baal Zephon. Pharaoh will think the Israelites are wandering around the land in confusion, hemmed in by the desert. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will pursue them. But I will gain glory for myself through Pharaoh and all his army, and the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord. So the Israelites did this. So God's saying to the Israelites, go do this. And a lot of times God tells us something, he just tells us to go do something. But he's very specific here in that he says, go do this so that I can show up in a powerful way. Have faith in me because I'm going to work out something beyond your imagination. So as we step down to verse 10, as Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, "Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us into the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, 'Leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians'? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert." They have faith. They have seen God show up in powerful ways. And this isn't something that occurred years ago. This is something that happened in the immediate future, the last few weeks, the last couple of months. They had already seen that light switch work time after time after time. But they didn't have faith. Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring to you today. The Egyptians you see today will never be seen again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." Relax, Moses is saying. It's okay. Have faith. Own the faith that we've already seen. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Raise your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the water so that the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground." I mean, you can almost hear the frustration. Why are you crying out to me? Haven't I proved myself? Have faith in me. Look what I've done. Don't you think I can get you out of this? Moses had faith. He didn't question God. He didn't go, "Well, maybe I'll walk down by the sea, or maybe we'll get out of this." Verse 21, "Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and all that night the Lord drove the sea back with a strong east wind and turned it into dry land. The waters were divided, and the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with a wall of water on their right and on their left." Imagine that. They are standing there. Moses raises his staff, holds out his hand, and the waters divide. And they march through on dry ground. Verse 29, "But the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with a wall of water on their right and on their left. That day the Lord saved Israel from the hands of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians lying dead on the shore. And when the Israelites saw the mighty hand of the Lord displayed against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord and put their trust in him and in Moses, his servant." They saw God show up in a powerful way again. And they had faith, right? They put their trust in him. They had just witnessed God destroy the most powerful army on the face of the planet. Except, yet again, the Israelites didn't have faith. By the end of the next chapter, chapter 15, they question whether God can provide them water in the desert. He does. And in that moment, they own their faith. But it's short-lived. Because at the beginning of the next chapter, they question whether God can provide food for them. So God rains manna from heaven. But the Israelites, some of them at least, didn't trust God. Because God told them, only take what you need for today, and I'll provide for you tomorrow. Some of the Israelites hoarded more than they needed for that day. And the manna soured, molded. So you'd think that by this point, they got to have faith. They got to own it. But they didn't. They questioned whether God could provide meat for them. So God provided quail. See, there's this constant tension in Exodus between Moses, who has faith and is always talking the Israelites off the ledge. Slow down. God is going to show up in a powerful way. Have faith. Haven't you seen what he's already done? With the Israelites, who really, to be quite honest with you, lacked faith. It doesn't even sound like a lot of times that they had hope that God would show up. Moses went up the mountain to talk with God. By the time Moses returned, they had so little faith, they had built a golden calf. Faith has to be permanent. It has to be confident. It has to be strong. It can't be weak or fleeting. Faith is the fundamental building block of who we are. What we believe defines what we're going to do, how we're going to act. It's woven into the fabric of who we are. You see, it's through faith that Enoch experienced eternal life without death. It's through faith that Abraham left the comfort of his own people and set out for the promised land and the promise that his descendants would number more than the stars. It's through faith that Sarah gave birth after her childbearing years. It was through faith that the walls of Jericho fell. It was through faith that David, a simple shepherd, killed Goliath and ascended to the throne of Israel. And it was through faith that Jesus Christ conquered death. And it is through faith that each and every one of us will find our salvation. The problem isn't with faith. It's with how we use or treat faith. When we're like the Israelites, we can see God show up in one moment, and in that next moment we have faith. But the next day we don't. That's not true faith. When we show up to church on Sunday, we walk out of here, and we're all in on faith. When you go to a small group, and there's that strong connection, there's a powerful study that goes on there, you're all in on faith. When you see God show up in your personal life in a powerful way, an only God story, you're all in on faith. But that will only carry you so far. Because when life jumps up and hits you, if you haven't owned your faith and invested in it, your faith will falter and it will fail. Just like it did with the Israelites. Think about it like this. When you leave here today, you go out and you get into a high-performance sports car. A Ferrari, a Lamborghini, maybe an Aston Martin. Pull out of the parking lot, sun shining. Life is good. You're all in. Monday morning rolls around. You open your window, you look outside. That car is still out there. It's a good day. Maybe you call into work just to drive the car around and enjoy it. The next day you get up, open the curtain. That car is still there. Go out, you take off for work. Hair's blowing in the breeze. Next day, get up. Something's gone wrong in your life. Life has hit you. You open that curtain, and that car's not there because you didn't own your faith. You realize you were just renting a car for the last 3 days. You didn't own it. See, we've got to own our faith every day. Just as much on Sunday afternoon as we do on Thursday morning and on Saturday night. Because if you don't own your faith, you're just renting it. It's just temporary. So as the worship team comes up, I'm going to leave you with this question. What are you driving today? What are you driving on Wednesday? What are you driving Friday night? Saturday afternoon? Do you own your faith as much today as you do every other day of the week? Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you give us strength. Faith is challenging. To own something every day is hard. Especially in the world today. Our culture runs at a frenetic pace. Culture seems to want to tear us away from you and from having faith in you. And I pray that you will give us the strength, the courage, a heart that is passionate for you, and a mind that seeks you so that we can own our faith. Not just in those fleeting moments, but every day. In your name I pray. Amen.